Well, we're very fortunate, as I said, to have Brother Bobby Ray and Scott with us, and I'm going to ask them to come down and sing for us and present their music. Brother, thank you.
Thank you all. Takes us a minute to get harnessed up here. And I'll let you unmute my guitar, too, if you don't mind. Put my glasses on. That helps me anymore. It's just, life don't get no easier, does it? Oh, man. No. We do get older, but anyway, we still have the Lord, don't we? He gets us through. Two winning hands.
Some lawyers can win, a doctor can heal, your banker can lend till your pockets are filled. But if yours is a case of a sin-stricken soul, for the problems you face, there's only one place to go. Just climb up that mountain where still springs the fountain, that sparkling crimson called Calvary's glow, that Jesus you heard on can take a black heart without love, wash it with the red and make it whiter than snow. Don't gamble on life with all your luck and your skill, 'cause you can play the cards that death's gonna deal. For the Bible has planned who the loser's gonna be. There's only two winning hands, and they were nailed to a tree. Just climb up that mountain where still springs the fountain, that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow. Make it whiter than snow. Just climb up that mountain where still springs the fountain, that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow, that Jesus you heard of can take a black heart without love, wash it with the red blood and make it whiter than snow. Wash it with the red blood and make it whiter than snow.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I missed the last round. Bobby came by himself, and he said he thought he sounded a lot better without me, so I thought I'd come back and show him up today.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Glad to have him back. We're going to feature him on a song that he wrote, and so see if I can pick it this morning. It's a great song.
lost and alone. No place to go. Shadows of trouble. Nothing to show. Just reach out to him. Extend God's sweet love. And give them this message. There's hope above us. Just call on my name. I will be there. Said Jesus, our Lord. You must stay in are too strong. Jesus will be there, right all the wrong. Just reach out to him. He'll wipe every tear, brush back all the clouds, erase all the fear. Just call on my name.
Thank the Lord for saving me and for everything he's done in my life. And thanks for Bobby and all he does and what he stands for.
Well, it's nothing like knowing the Lord. There's nothing like serving the Lord. And the world just don't know what they're missing, the folks that don't know the Lord. I couldn't imagine life without him. I guess the ones that don't know him can't imagine life with him. But I hope that we all can be a light and show them a little bit of what it's like to serve the Lord and what kind of joy and peace and then the help through the struggles. This last almost 2 years now, well, it's been a struggle for a lot of people. And so I'm just thankful for the Lord this morning. You want to try God on the mountain? Can't get him to sing much, but he's going to sing a verse on this one.
When you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known, but then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. Things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good is still God in the night.
Secretary.
Probably couldn't read her right neither.
Jesus, remember me real quick.
I get tickled with Steve that I sing with, you know, with the Pioneers, and I laugh at him a lot of times. He'll forget his words a lot, and then he'll have words sometimes in front of him, and he can't read what he's trying to sing and read. And
just so you feel right at home.
It makes me feel, and I laugh at him a lot. Now I catch myself doing that, so getting in trouble for laughing at him.
I was on a drift.
There you go.
One, two, three. I was all alone and drifting on a lonely sea of sin. Nothing but darkness, no sunshine within. Then I lifted my eyes to the Lord in the sky, and glory to God, He remembered me. Jesus remembered me. At the Sea of Galilee, He said He remembered a mortal like me. I asked for His blessings down on my knees, and glory to God, He remembered me. Jesus remembered me, and so He saved me free. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Glory to God, He remembered me. Jesus remembered me, and so He set me free. Once I was blinded, but now I can see. Singing love music all my life,
love gospel music mostly all my life, and started singing out or playing and singing a little bit out in public in the fall, about this time of year in 1973 when I first met the Pioneers and got the opportunity to play some rhythm guitar with them back in those days. And so I've heard a lot of songs in my life, and I've been, last almost 2 years, I've been trying to teach every one of them to Scott.
He's failing.
And cause we've sung it, here on a monthly basis, and a couple other places, another church at least 2 times a month through the COVID thing. And so here's another song, Scott. And so here's one today that I threw it on him this week, and it says, "It sounds like home to me if I can get my act together."
Somewhere just across the Jordan River is a place of everlasting joy and peace, where the stream of life is flowing there forever, and a crown of life is waiting there for me. Crystal River flowing by the trees of life. No more pain, no disappointments there to hurt us. And Jesus Christ Himself will be
appreciate Wes. I really do. We've come to appreciate him more and more, and like him and a couple other places we sing. I appreciate their trust in us to come and sing a few songs and during the service, and just give us the freedom to sing and worship with you all, and I appreciate that very much. And we'll do one more. This is a newer song. I'm going to have to hit my little click here where I get my tempo right, but it's talking about to the table. You can just lay everything out on the table to the Lord. Just put it out there, and your troubles, your trials, your even your sin or the things in life that you know just the Lord's dealing with you on, just put it out on the table, and that's a great place, and He takes care of it. Everything you're going through, but you keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? Fears that hold your heart, but through the cross you've been forgiven, you accept it as you are, and bring it all to the table. There's nothing He ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow, and your sadness, Savior, and He calls, bring it all to the table. Bring it all. You can bring it all. Come on in, take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. And bring it all to the table. There's nothing He ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow, and your sadness, there's a Savior and
thank you, brother. Praise the Lord for you and Scott, Brother Bobby and Scott. I appreciate you. I don't know anything about that keyboard. Know nothing about it. I wish I could play it. But, brother, it developed a knock a while ago, and you might ought to put some oil in the thing. I don't know, but you might want to check it. before we move forward, we recognized our veterans. And Fred came in after that, and Jose was outside opening the door. And we certainly want to recognize them and remember them. Brother Jose, would you stand? And Brother Fred, let's give them a big hand. We recognize you as a veteran, and we praise the Lord for you and your service. If you have your Bible, please turn with us to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. New pastor moved into town, and it was a country town, and seemed like the farmers, after they had got in all their crops and wrapped up everything for winter, they'd gather at the country store and sit around the old stove, and they would tell jokes every day. They would come in, and they got so many jokes and told them so many times that they decided that they would just number them. And instead of having to go through the whole joke and tell the whole thing, they'd just say number 44 or number 52. And they would laugh at that because they knew which one it was. Well, the pastor came in, new pastor came into town. He wanted to meet the fellows, and he wanted to be a part of it. So he went down to the store, and he sat around, and they, you know, they got their RC Coca-Colas and their moon pies and sat around the country store. And he was sitting around there, and one said 44, and they just laughed. Oh, they just laughed. Another one sat there for a little while, and he said 52, and they just laughed, laughed, laughed. And he got up, and he went out, and as he went by the owner of the store, he said, "What in the world is going on?" He said, "They called these numbers out," and said, "Everybody laughed." He said, "Well," said, "they numbered the jokes. And so that way they don't have to go through telling all of them. Everybody knows them from one end to the other, so they just laugh at them." So he said, okay. So he went on, did what he had to do that day, and he come back the next day. And he came in and drew his chair up there with him. He's sitting around with him, drinking his Coca-Cola and his nabs and whatever he had. And he said, 44. Nobody moved. Nobody said anything. Nobody laughed. And he sat there for a few minutes, and he said, 52. Nobody moved. Nobody said anything. Well, he realized he was in hot water, so he got up and he went out and he saw the owner of the store, and he said, "What in the world?" He said, "I said the same thing. They said 44, and I said 44, and 52. And the owner of the store said, "Well, preacher, some people can tell a joke and some people can't." So anyway, if you notice in chapter 4 of the book of Mark, Jesus told parables and gave stories about events and things that they would understand, and he took them from the not knowing to the knowing, to understanding of things. And so in chapter 4, verse 1, he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. He entered into the ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea, and he taught them by many things by parables. He spoke to them by parables. And then over in chapter 4, verse 33, and with many parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to bear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. Now Jesus spoke by these parables. He was a master at that. He was the teacher, and they many times called him teacher. And he spoke by these parables. But in chapter 4, verses 35 and following, he's going to teach them in a different way. He's going to teach them by experience. You know, the old saying is, experience is the best teacher. Well, he's going to experience something with them and teach them through that. And it's going to really prepare them for what they're going to face on down the road. So if you have your Bible, in chapter 4, verse 35, the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, "Let us pass over to the other side." Now they were at the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles the length of it from north to south. It's 7.5 miles wide and 141 feet deep. And we've heard about it many, many times. And so he is on one shore, and that, as we said in the first few verses there, there was a multitude, and what he did is he got on this ship, this little ship, and he let it go out into the water a little bit, and he used that as his platform, as his pulpit, so to speak, and the people could see him. He was above the people and on the little ship, and they could hear him and see him, and it worked out real good for him. Well, at evening, when it was getting dark, he said, let's go over to the other side. So in verse 36, and they had sent over the multitude or sent away the multitude. They took them even as he was in the ship, and there were also other little ships with him. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Well, here is the test that he's going to give to them and the training that he's going to give to them. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will test us to bring out the good in us, but the old devil will tempt us to bring out the worst in us. So the Lord Jesus now is going to teach them something, not by a parable, but by an experience that they're going to go through. The first thing we need to see is this storm. You'll notice it says that it's a great storm. It's one of them super dyna-whopping frog stranglers. I mean, it was a big one. And he said it was by wind. It was the wind. Now, as you know, I live across the street, and the tornado in April the 16th, 2011, came through. I was standing on the back patio taking pictures of it as fast as I could and as long as I could until it got too bad, and then I run in the house. Well, it went through St. Andrews. It was considered an F3 storm with the winds about 158 to 206 miles an hour. It was moving 165 miles an hour across the ground, so it was moving pretty quick. It did tire out the eave of our house and this end of the house, and I wanted to say to the men of this church, I appreciate you coming over to help me to put up plastic because rain was getting in there. I had a friend call me. He was a retired captain with the Sanford Police Department. He lived down in Carolina Lakes, and he called me, and he said, Rev said, I know you had a tornado go through, and I'm coming to help you. He said, what can I do? I said, brother, go by Lowe's and pick me up some plastic because we've got to put some plastic up here. Well, I waited and waited, and a little while he came in, and he had something that looked like Saran wrap. I said, brother, is that the best you could do? He said, is that the best Lowe's had? He said, Lowe's is no more. It took Lowe's down, as you know. And so I appreciated the men of this church. They came running over, and they took garbage bags and plastic and all kinds of things that we could get and put on the eave of my house to keep it from getting further damage. And I appreciated that. But I've been in that wind, and I've been out to sea, and praise the Lord for that. And I know what wind is like, and you know what wind is like if you lived here. But so this was a strong wind, it said, and the waves beat upon the ship. You'll notice that there are storms that come into our life. It doesn't matter if you're saved or unsaved. Storms come into your life, all kinds of storms that we have in our life. And it's a purpose in it for the Lord to work through this for us to do great things in his work. Now, the storm was great. Now, if you're unsaved, there's going to be storms in your life. If you have your Bible, locate with us Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And it tells us here why storms come into the life of the unsaved. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, that's us. But now this is the way we were before we got saved, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we find that as an unsaved person, you are a servant of the devil. The devil tells you when to jump and where to jump and what to do and how to do, and the devil is in charge of their life. And so, therefore, if you're unsaved in our service, this is what's going on in your life. That's why all the storms are there. The devil is just using you. The devil is using you to cause many storms in your family and in your life and in your work and wherever you may be. He's using you to cause storms, and he's bringing these storms in your life. Well, go back to Luke chapter 9. And there's something there that people need to see. They don't realize it as an unsaved person how the devil does. You see, the devil has never said to anybody that he loves them. He loves himself, but he's never told anybody that he loves them. He never cares about anybody. Only he wants to do, the only thing he wants to do is use you and to use you to be a storm in somebody's life, to cause havoc, to cause problems, to cause issues. And in your life, there will be storms. There will be all kinds of storms. There will be drama and trauma. You can see it, and the people don't understand it. But here's what's going on. Well, in Luke chapter 9, if you look there, Luke chapter 9 and verse 37, it came to pass that on the next day when they came down from the hill, many people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, he's my only son. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they couldn't. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer with you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming," this is the part you need to see if you're unsaved today. Verse 42, "As he was coming, the devil threw him down and broke him," or tore him. "And Jesus rebuked the devil and healed the child." This is the thing that the people that are following the devil, the serving the devil, that are unsaved, that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior, this is the thing they don't understand. The devil does not love you. The devil has never said he loves you. The devil does not say he cares anything about you. He will use you. He will make storms in your life. He will make you to be a storm to somebody. He will cause all kinds of havoc in your life and all kinds of havoc in your family. And then in verse 42, this young man, when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil was through with him. The devil could use him no more. The devil couldn't use him to cause any more storms in his family's life. His daddy was all worried about him, said, "He's my only son." And lo and behold, he's just possessed by a devil. And he's just going crazy and doing all kinds of things. The Bible says that when he came to Jesus, the devil threw him down. When the devil is through with you and you can use and be used no more and he can squeeze no more out of you, he throws you down. He cares nothing for you. We have in our patrol vehicles a substance or a commodity known as Narcan. If we find a person who is overdosed, we can put it in their nose and it'll bring them back. A fellow talked to me the other day and he said, my granddaughter, she got on to drugs and she was brought back with Narcan 11 times. 11 times. Now, the 12th time, the devil was through with her. She'd caused so much havoc. He'd brought so much storms in her. He'd squeezed out everything and he could get out of her. He squeezed out in the family. He'd squeezed this and squeezed that. And so what did he do? He threw her down. On the 12th time, we didn't get there fast enough and she passed away. He was through with her. The devil was through with her. So there's storms that'll come in your life. Now, that's unsaved folks. They're filled with storms, drama and trauma all the time. But now there are times when storms come into saved people's lives. Think about back over in our passage here about the disciples. Here's the disciples. They were believers. They were with the Lord Jesus. They were in the Lord's will. There was nothing that they were doing wrong. The Lord said, "Let's go to the other side." They were rowing the boat. They were driving the boat with the stern. They were directing the boat. They were doing everything that they could. And probably somewhere along the middle of their journey, about 3 miles into the lake there, this storm came up. It was a big storm. But they were in the Lord's will. So sometimes in our lives, even though we're serving the Lord, doing the work of the Lord, there are storms that come into our life. Well, you'll notice that the Bible said that it beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, these fellows had been on the Sea of Galilee many times. They were fishermen. They knew about the storms, and they knew about this. And no doubt they knew what to do if the wind got in and the waves beat in the ship and it was getting full. Now, let me tell you, while you're out to sea, you don't want water getting in to the point that the ship is full because it's going to go down. And so they didn't know what to do. They were probably having buckets and whatever, and they were doing everything that they could do. I've heard people say, well, you know, the Lord never puts more on you than you can stand. That is not correct, because sometimes the Lord does put more on us than we can bear, because this is what is happening here. It was more than they could handle. You see, that passage where they get that is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that's where they think about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he's talking about temptations. He will not tempt you above that which you're able. Because if he did, he's pushed you into it and caused you to sin, and he would have to bear some of the responsibility. He's talking about temptation. He's not talking about putting more on us than we can bear, because Paul had that situation. Remember what Paul said? He said, I got this thorn in my side, and he said, I went to the Lord Jesus three times and asked him to remove it. Jesus said, no, he said, I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to help you carry it. I'm going to help you bear it. You see, when the Lord puts more on us than we can bear, what does it do? It causes us to go to him. It causes us to go to him and say, Lord, listen, I can't handle this. I can't do it. I need your help. And we learn from him. We learn about him. We see him. We see him in a different way. And this is about what's about going to happen here to our disciples. You see, there was a big storm. It was something they couldn't handle. It was more than they could handle. They couldn't deal with it because the ship was getting full of water, and it was looking like it was going to go down. Well, you'll notice the situation, the wind. The wind is a problem. It was a strong wind, and the water became filling the boat. But the worst thing is, notice what happened. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, which is teacher, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care we're going to die? The first thing, they saw the wind and the waves, and that's the situation. You see, the storm was big. It was a storm of wind. It caused the sea to go into the ship. The water began to fill up the ship, and they had some issues. It was more than they could bear. They didn't know what to do. They thought they were going to die. The first thing is that they got scared. They got scared. And the second thing is they jumped to conclusions. They jumped to a conclusion. They ran down to where he was, and he was asleep on the pillow, and they said, don't you care? Listen, we're about to die. We're going to die. They had it in their mind that they were about to perish. Well, this happens in our situations too. When we come into a storm, and storms come into our life, and it may be what the doctor said. He may call the C word. It may be this, it may be that. It may be financial. It may be mental. It may be emotional. It may be all kinds of issues as these storms come into our life. And the first thing we do is get scared. Oh my, what in the world am I going to do? I don't know what in the world to do. I'm upset. I don't know what to do. And then we jump to a conclusion, and we say, oh my, I'm going to die, or this is the way it's going to turn out, or this is the way it is. But the third thing that they did was they doubted the fact that the Lord cared for them. They doubted that fact. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're about to die? You see, we do that same thing. We'll get scared. We'll jump to a conclusion. And then we'll doubt whether the Lord cares for us or not. Well, they were asking the wrong one. Do you care? Because yes, the Lord Jesus does care. He cares enough that he came and he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, where he did no sin, had no sin, did no sin, never committed a sin, and yet he suffered as if he was the worst sinner in the whole wide world. He paid the price, and that's the only commodity that God will accept is the precious blood of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus paid with his life. So they asked the man who was going to die for them, don't you care? Certainly he did care. And sometimes we get that panicky. We get jumped to a conclusion, and we don't think the Lord cares for us. But he does care for us. Why are you in that storm? Because he's trying to teach us something, train us in some way, show us his power, and then he preaches a sermon to them. He preaches a sermon to them, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. If you have your Bible and you like to underline in your Bible, look in verse 37. It says there was a great storm, and then draw a line down to verse 39 where it says there was a great calm. You see, our Heavenly Father, through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he can change a storm into a great calm. He can fix it. And you know what he did? He got up, he arose, he rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, be still. It all calmed. It was slick just like a glass. And you could see the great calm. You see what he was saying is, fellas, I got this. I'm in charge. I got this. This is a sermon that he's going to preach to them. He showed them his power. He said, listen, I'm going to show you my power. And that is I can control the wind and the sea. And he showed him his power. You see, when we go through a storm and we reach out to the Lord and he changes from the storm to the great calm, the first thing you see is his power. We realize his power and we recognize that. And then you see the disciples had forgot something. They had forgot a promise. They had forgot a promise because if you look back in verse 35, Jesus said unto them, let us go to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. We're going over there, all of us, not just half of us, not just some of us, not just me. We're all going to the other side. So you see, my friend, when storms come into your life, Jesus can change it from a great storm to a great calm. And he said, we're going to the other side. You see, it's bad now in our world today, and we see all kinds of crime. And if you turned on the TV and didn't see somewhere where somebody had been shot or somebody been killed, you would think something's going on. But we see that going on in our life. These storms are coming. But Jesus said to all of us, what did he say to us? He said, beloved, if you're my child, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. We're all going to go to the other side. He said, I've prepared a place for you and I'll come back and get you. And so we have the promise. The disciples had the promise, but they'd forgot about it. He said, let us go to the other side. We are going to get over there. We're going to that other side. And so we praise the Lord for that we have his promise. But now this was a pretest. This was a pretest of what they were going to be experiencing. I didn't know what a pretest was till I went to my first day at Piedmont Bible College. Now it's a university. But I went there when it was Piedmont Bible College, and I didn't know what a pretest was. You see, I'd been in the Navy, and I'd been away, and I was overseas, and the Lord blessed me, and I was on the flagship of the 6th Fleet working with the Admiral's staff over there, and we would make many port calls because the Admiral would have to go over and what they call it, show the flag, and do some political, gatherings and so on. So we'd pull in and anchor and drop the anchor, and a lot of these fellas, as soon as the gangplank hit the deck, they were gone. They were gone over on the beach. Well, I didn't do that. I studied the Bible. I took my Bible, and I had an office, and I could use that office, and I could study in that office, and the Lord called me to preach while I was over there in Naples, Italy. And so I was studying, and I wanted to go to college to learn the scriptures, and so the Lord blessed, and the Navy said, well, you can get out and go to college and just go to, be in the reserves. And I said, oh, I like that. So that's what happened. And so they let me out, and I went to Piedmont Bible College, and I was so happy to be there. And the first day, they said, come on down here to this room. We're going to give you a pretest. And so I'd been studying the Bible over there every day and just studying and taking Bible courses and so on and so forth. And I went down there and I said, "What do y'all want to know?" Well, that wasn't really the right thing to say. They laid a pretest down in front of me. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'd never seen stuff on that test that they laid in front of me describe the gap theory, which is between Genesis chapter 1 and 1:1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Describe the gap theory and please go to Jeremiah chapter 4 and explain what the Hebrew phrase means, tohu wa bohu. And explain that and write that in a paragraph. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, I come out of there in a daze. I said, "I ain't got sense enough to be here. They're going to tell me to go back out to sea, because you need to study some more." That was a pretest. It was to show me what I didn't know. And boy, did they show me what I didn't know. And I said, they're going to tell me to leave. But, you know, the next day they said, "Come on back to this classroom and start." And so I took the 5-year course, praise the Lord, and I had 4 semesters of Greek. And never did they say, "You flunked that pretest." I know I did. I had to flunk it. I mean, but then right before graduation, guess what? They brought me in and gave me the same test. So I found out what a pretest was. A pretest tells you what you don't know. And I sure believe that. So the disciples now, here they were, out there in that Sea of Galilee. A storm came up. Jesus got up, changed it from a great storm to a great calm, and then gave them a sermon. He said, "My power, look at my power. I got this. Is there any storm in your life that the Lord can't fix?" No, He'll fix everything. He can fix it. He may have allowed it to come in your life to train you, to teach you, to show you something. He did it to His disciples. He said, "Listen, look at my power and don't forget my promise, because I said, I've already told you, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. All of us is going to the other side. And this is a pretest for you, because you're going to be tested in a few days. There'll be some more tests coming up for you, some big ones. When they nail me to the cross, it's going to be a big one. What you going to do? It's a big test. Do you remember my power? Do you remember my promise? Do you remember that? Do you know what to do? Are you ready for that?" It was a pretest. Well, notice that after that, the people said, and Jesus said, "Where's your faith?" Because you see, it was a pretest. They needed to know that they didn't have the faith yet that they needed. And then they said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" They learned something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going through some storms today? Are some storms in your life? If you're on the sea and it's pretty calm, well, just look out, because it may come up a big storm in your life. Something happens. You get a phone call. A phone call could change it. You know, one of your family members is sick or injured or something of that nature. Some kind of a storm could come up. Well, the first thing we try to do, and the first thing that we do is we probably get scared, and then we jump to a conclusion, and then we doubt whether the Lord really cares about us or not. Don't be doing that, because you see, the Lord has a purpose in this. You're His child. He's filtered out all other things, and He's let this come into your life. But if you're here today without Christ, you're unsaved, your life is full of storms. It's a big storm itself, and you don't know how many storms you're causing on to other people. But let me tell you this, as you serve the devil, as you live for the devil, let me tell you this, that he doesn't love you, doesn't care for you, but when he gets through with you, he's going to throw you down. He has no more use for you. He's going to throw you down like he did that boy there, like he did the girl with 11 times and been brought back with Narcan, and he'd used her up, and the drugs had taken its toll. And he used her and used her and used her to break the heart of the family and the grandfather. And then he threw her down. He was through with her. Beloved, these storms come into our life. But look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He can fix them. He can fix them. If you're unsaved, he can fix your life. He can forgive you. He can wash you in his blood and cleanse you. He'll take care of you. He'll accept you just as you are right now. Right now. While the door is still open, You're going to shut the door one day and take us out of here and get us to the other side. He's promised us he's going to get us to the other side. But you don't want to miss that boat. You don't want to miss that boat leaving, going to the other side, because if you do, you're left behind and go into the tribulation period if you're alive. If you die before that, you go into that awful place called hell. Would you bow with me, please, in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we pray that if there be one here without Christ, they'll come and be saved. And if there are folks here with storms in their life, they won't panic, but look to you. They won't jump to a conclusion, and they won't doubt that you care for them. Please draw us close together. Lord, we pray, and we'll be careful to praise you. Lord, help us now today. Search the hearts. If there be any without Christ, may they come. If there be any believers going through storms, comfort them and help them, we pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you, are you ready? Are you on the boat? Are you in the ship? Are you ready to go? Are you going to make it to the other side? The Lord said, I'm going to take you to the other side. Are you ready to go? If you're not, if you're unsaved and you want to receive Christ today as your Savior, would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you and pray with you? Anyone? Christian friend, are you going through some storms? Storms in your life? Don't get scared. Don't jump to a conclusion that it's going to go this way or that way. Mm-mm. And don't doubt that the Lord loves you. He's allowed it to come into your life. Anyone going through a storm, you want me to pray for you? Anyone? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Yes. These storms come. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Guide us and direct us now. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bobby, would you come back and...
Thank you, Brother Estes. That's a great word this morning. I'm going to sing a song that just goes right along with your message. And it's up-tempo, and that's normally what we do at the end of the service. But this song is an old song that I've been singing a while, and I love the message. It says, meet me over on the other side. So get him. Hey.
Jesus told his faithful disciples, meet me over on the other side. I will meet you in the waters you have crossed. But in midst of stormy sailing, what do we do? They fearfully cried. Out of darkness came its answer, meet me over on the other side. Do not fear the raging waters, trust in me and face the storm. I will calm the winds around you. In my hand you're safe from harm. Waves cease rolling and the winds stop blowing. That's my child in the midst of the tide. Be not afraid of the tossing billows. Meet me over on the other side. God still speaking to his children, meet me over on the other side. Though the storms of life are many when we reach our goal, he is watching for the storm clouds. He will be our Savior and guide. Can't you hear him gently beckon? Meet me over on the other side. Do not fear the raging waters, trust in me and face the storm. I will calm the winds around you. In my hand you're safe from harm. Waves cease rolling and the winds stop blowing. That's my child in the midst of the tide. Be not afraid of the tossing billows. Meet me over on the other side. Do not fear the raging waters. rest on the tide. Be not afraid of the tossing billows. Meet me over on the other side. Be not afraid of the tossing billows. Meet me over on the other side.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with us, please? We're so glad that you could come and be with us today at the Hunt Springs Baptist Church. Remember Pastor West, he's out another church, and remember him in the funeral and be much in prayer for him and much in prayer for the church. Let's go to the Lord in closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day, and we praise you for your blessings. Bless us now, Lord, as we go, and please keep us all safe and use us for thy glory. Thank you for this time, and thank you for these who've come. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.